Welcome to the Sermon Podcast of Redemption Church. This past Sunday, we celebrated our 10th anniversary with a delightful party. We hope you enjoy the following stories from that night.
How great thou art! How great thou art! Amen. God, you are good. We are grateful to worship together and be here in this place. Bless our time, our conversation. In your name we pray. Amen. All right. Okay, so it is my job in the next 10 minutes to tell you the story of redemption. So we got to do 10 years in 10 minutes. So you guys ready? You ready? All right, let's buckle in. Let's go. All right, so I'm actually going to back up 12 years ago, 2007. I took a job at a church called The Well with Todd over here in Feasterville, Pennsylvania, about 25 minutes away from here. And despite my background in urban ministry, I found myself at this suburban church not really knowing what to do with myself. So the first thing we did was got involved in the city, and we were down in the city working with the homeless community. But the longer I sat still and opened my eyes, the more I realized how big the mission field was right in front of us. Here in our inner suburban community, we had poverty and we had homelessness. Here in our inner suburban community, there were new immigrant communities that were coming in and starting here rather than in the city. As wealth was moving out to the outer suburbs, inner suburbs were facing problems like empty strip malls and dead main streets. And as demographics were changing, the churches in the inner suburbs were facing all the challenges that urban churches had faced before. As demographics changed, the churches were emptying out and some were closing their doors. So while I knew literally dozens of people who were doing community revitalization and church planting in cities, I knew no one who was doing it in inner suburbs. So there was a mission that needed to be done. And then one day, I wandered into Bristol. Now, do you guys remember the first time you wandered into Bristol? Yeah? I wandered into Bristol and I fell in love. I walked down Mill Street for the first time and I could just see all the potential of this amazing main street. And I walked down to the river and I could just see the natural beauty. I was just overwhelmed by the beauty of the river. And I saw all the old row homes and the close together streets and the walkability, and I could just see it. I could just see this community of Christians living together, sharing life together, being salt and light in the neighborhood. I could see it from day one. I could see First Friday. I could see Calm Waters. I could see Velocity. I could see young people moving in and buying houses and making a life in Bristol. But the funny thing about that day is Bristol, I've never seen Bristol emptier. There was not a single soul out on Mill Street. It was dead quiet. You could hear a pin drop. And in that silence, something just stirred in me. Something in between a passion and a calling and an anger and just a vision and a sense that something needs to be done here. This town needs to come back to life. And that fall, we planted Redemption. I got some accompaniment. All right. Yeah. Amen. We played a redemption. All right. Hey. You guys can cheer. It's a party. It's all right. She's into it. Now, the early days of redemption were pretty crazy days for those who are around. We had this young, immature community, but we started our first community house and launched our worship gathering and got involved in every aspect of Bristol. But probably our most meaningful connection in those early days was with the homeless community that was here. There used to be a homeless encampment about a mile away from here, and every Tuesday we would go back and spend time with those guys. And at first, we just kind of hang out, and then we got to know them more, and we would pray for each other, and we would share meals together, and we would share life, and we got to be close friends. One of the highlights of my life was doing a wedding for a couple that was homeless, and we got to put on the whole wedding for them. It was just a beautiful time. And then something even weirder happened the further we were in that ministry. People started dropping off donations to the camp. They would drop off like bags of clothing or pallets of food, way more than they could possibly need. So we'd go back there on Tuesdays and they would have set aside donations for us. it was just this crazy moment where we'd come back and they'd be like, hey, we picked out these clothes for you guys today. Specifically, we thought of you when we picked this one out. Or they'd give us like bags and bags of bread. And you know, we were a little embarrassed, so you'd always try and pass it on to someone who might be needier than us. But there was actually just too much. So we entered into this weird season where we were literally being fed and clothed by the homeless community of Bucks County. So, I mean, I'm not sure I figured out how to plan a successful church in those days, but I learned a lot about the kingdom of God and just what a weird, wild place the kingdom of God is. The sort of place where you get fed and clothed by the homeless. So, and while it's easy to remember our immaturities in those days, it was in those first years that our first young people bought in. Our first college students graduated and chose to stick around. Our crazy young people, the first ones, chose to stop drinking every night and give their lives to Jesus. Our first leaders emerged and began to think what it might be to take this mission really seriously to Bristol. And it became apparent that we needed to grow deeper. We needed to become a fuller, deeper community in order for us to grow up. If we were going to reach Bristol, we needed to be more than kind of the young, hip Christians. We needed to be the aroma of Christ in Bristol. So that fall, we switched to our house church model. And for the next 6 years, we met primarily in living rooms around Bristol. And what I loved most about that was that every individual mattered. I knew every single person there, and I knew their story, and I could look them in the eye and say, who are you? Who are you in Jesus, and what does it look like to live that out, and how can we help you do that? And it was just so awesome to see individuals come to life in Jesus and discover who they were in Jesus, discover their giftings and their callings. And, you know, sometimes this led to new house churches or new mission endeavors, but some of the greatest joys were seeing someone cook a meal for the first time, or pray for somebody for the first time, or learn what it means to remain and stay and be part of a community for the first time. It was such a joy during that season to see individuals grow in Christ. It was also during that time that all of our missional investments began to bear fruit. After years of trying to drum up energy on Mill Street, First Friday suddenly took off and is now one of the biggest events in Bucks County. After years of thinking about what it would look like to have a local coffee shop, we got to help Calm Waters come to be, which is still just a beacon in our community. After years of working with the homeless community, we got to help plant The Way Home, which has helped dozens of men get out of homelessness here in Bucks County. And as Bristol began to grow, it made space for smaller relational endeavors. We got to go out and be the body of Christ, be the aroma of Christ. So we planted a Bible study in the bookstore, and a storytelling night in the coffee shop, and our philosophy group in the tea shop, and most recently, donuts and devotions in the bakery. Scotty gets to lead donuts and devotions, yeah. In 2018, we opened up the Mill Chapel right at the top of Mill Street, a place for the Bristol community to come and experience prayer, reflection, meditation, to meet God. And we learned in all of these things that one of the greatest things the church can offer is space. Space for honesty, space for vulnerability, space for people to open themselves up and meet God. And lo and behold, when you give people space to look inside their soul, God is there. God shows up. God transforms them and begins to make them new. And during the last days of house church, something else started happening. Something that you're seeing the effect of right now. Which is babies. Babies, lots of babies, so many babies. And all of a sudden, our living rooms got pretty crowded and pretty noisy. And we began to look around Bristol, too, and all of a sudden, there were, like, young people around, and new life, and new people moving in. And we saw both of these things and decided it was time for something new. And so just over a year ago, we replanted our weekly gathering, and for the last year or so, we've been meeting in this space weekly. And it's been a space for new people to come in, for old faces to return. But it's also been a space to meet God, to grow in prayer, to grow in worship, to not just grow in ourselves, not just grow in community, but to truly meet God. And we've really been transformed by that. So that's the story. How'd I do? Is that 10 minutes? How'd I do? So just to conclude, I just ran through about a million different endeavors and projects and all these things that we've started, but I just want to stress most of all, this story is about people. It's about people coming to be loved by God and changed by God. When I meet a young leader in ministry, the thing I tell them is invest in people, because programs come and go and churches are born and churches die, but the investment you make in people lives on. And if nothing else, I hope that that is the legacy of Redemption of the last year, of the last 10 years, that people have been loved by God and changed by God and made new by God. I know that's what matters most to God, and that is the reason most of all that we celebrate tonight. Amen?
Amen.
And I'm sure over the next 10 years, we'll come up with lots of other dumb, crazy, silly ideas, and some of them will flourish and some of them will fail. But that's my prayer for the next 10 years, that people would be loved by God and changed by God. And I'm pretty sure if that happens, we'll all be here 10 years from now to celebrate again. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. All right.
All right, so we are going to move into a time that we've decided to call Stories of Redemption. I want to just set some expectations for what we'll be doing here tonight. As I tried to figure out how to explain it, I thought of the idea that if you really want to know someone, you should get to know their childhood friends. I've discovered this relatively recently in the past year as I've been getting to know my girlfriend. She's not here tonight, but we're fine. Everything's fine. She's just not here. We're fine. As I've been getting to know my girlfriend, you know, you meet someone and it's exciting and it's like, whoa, tell me about yourself. And you realize that what you're doing and what they're doing, they're only telling you the best, most recent stuff. You're getting highlights. But then I was introduced to Julie's friend group that she's had since middle school. And that is where the juicy discoveries came. That is where you realize, okay, I have a much fuller idea of who you are as a person now that I know about your awkward bangs. She's not here tonight, but we're fine. It's fine. So there's very few of us who have been around for every phase of Redemption. But what we've done tonight is we've tried to choose a storyteller who has known Redemption in each of her significant phases. And I want to first bring up, she'll introduce herself a little more, but Shauna Cummings, if you would come up and she's going to share what Redemption has been in her experience from the very beginning.
I guess that makes me a childhood friend of Redemption?
Yeah.
All right. I'm not nearly as old as I thought I was. That's so relieving. Gary and the team invited me to talk about the beginning of Redemption. And I guess to talk about that, I have to talk a little bit about where Gary came from. Which is the well. We were a small church, middling church maybe. Is that fair, Todd? Small is probably fair. Probably still very truthfully figuring out the nature of who we were at the time. And Gary came to our elders meeting, of which he was a part since he was one of our pastors. And he came to that meeting that evening because they were in the evening, because we were all where you are right now, with littles running around, and just praying and hoping that we could make it every week, and that the kids would go to bed, and that nobody would, you know, pull the service apart too badly. It was great. And so he came to that elders meeting that week with something clearly on his heart. And it was genuinely beautiful to watch him talk. My husband and I had lived in Bristol like 100 years ago. I mean, maybe not 100, more like 75. And we knew Mill Street and Bristol. My husband has been raised in this area as somewhat of a dead area. There was not a lot of life happening here. You didn't wake up and say, I know what let's do. Let's walk down Mill Street. That'll be fun. Nobody did that. It was not a good idea. So for Gary to come to that meeting and say, I have a thought, I have a dream, I have this idea that's not letting go of me, and he began to talk about
an audacious dream, an insane idea, that maybe he could go to Bristol and figure out how to love it back to life. Not just plant a church here. Not just go and maybe stand on the corner and tell people about Jesus, which is important. I'm completely not devaluing that. But the audacious idea that the people of Bristol needed desperately to be loved. And that he thought maybe he could do that. And our little church, which was by no stretch of the imagination super stable, said, okay, that sounds terrifying, but yes, let's figure out how to be behind you. And so we took a portion of who we were and Gary, and we said, we're going to tithe our people to Bristol. We're going to take a portion of what we are, small though we may be, and send them to Bristol so that they can learn how to love people there. All of those things that Gary was talking about earlier, the coffee house and First Fridays and all of that, weren't even like a spark yet. They were barely a conversation. It was, now we're just going. We have no idea what we're doing. This is going to be great. And so we sat there that night, and it was not super easy and smooth and whatever, but it was stunning. It was amazing to be in the room when kind of the light that would become Bristol, but become Redemption, was started. And it was my extreme privilege to pray through this, walk through this, and get to see bits and pieces and corners and huge stories and wonderful, amazing transformations, and to be a childhood friend of Redemption Church of Bristol. I will pass it off.
Thank you so much, Shauna. I'm now gonna invite Jesse Meir to come on up.
Hello, everyone. My name is Jesse. I'm going to be talking about kind of how the early days of Redemption. I know she started about the start of it. So I'm going to be reading from an iPhone, so it's not going to be as cool, probably. But when I think about Redemption, I think of it as a well for me. You know, in the Old Testament, they had wells they dug, and they would come back to and get refreshed from. And so Redemption has been that for me. I've come back a bunch of times. I kind of show up randomly at Thanksgiving dinners, or I'll just come up and just sleep over somebody's house, JP, Matt's house, you know, just attend a wedding for some reason. But why I do that is because, you know, in a lot of ways, you know, the motto they use is sinners and skeptics, you know, longing for the redemption of God. And I felt like very connected to that line of just being somebody longing, you know, for something, and longing connection. And I felt very seen, and I felt very heard when I was here. And so I'll just a little bit about myself. I came to Redemption as a goofy guy with a djembe, long hair and dark rimmed glasses. I got a ride from my roommate to come here. We both attended what was considered our ministry hours required by Cairn University. PBU at the time. we hadn't planned to even do ministry hours. We just were bad planners. But God positioned us. I got to know this guy, JP Richardson, and another guy, Evan Curry, at the time, who started as one of the pastors here. And they were like, we need somebody to play a drum. And I'm like, well, I play a drum. I play a djembe. They're like, well, just come on. I'm like, okay. So we had attended other churches in the area, but none were so engaging, none were so intentional, and so thoughtful to invite us into their community. And so we were immediately like family with like 20 or 30 people. It was great. Over the years, Redemption became like a home to me and a place to stay and a place to hang out. I would often stay late and just talk and hang out and just stay late, have dinners, you know, sleep over people's houses and stuff. What I loved most about redemption was that it reminded me of something God had spoken to me while I was in Wisconsin. So a lot of Wisconsin Wilderness Campus, a lot of people who came through redemption went to also this school in Wisconsin that PBU started called Wisconsin Wilderness Campus. And if you know about that, it was basically like redemption, but like in Wisconsin. And it's very similar. The spirit of it is very similar. You know, people who are in community, people who want to come and, you know, get to know one another and go deep with one another and also learn about God and learn about the Bible. So like that was going on. And then God spoke to me there. So I came here and I was like, oh, it's Wisconsin Wilderness Campus 2.0. Okay, great. So the message though is that the message that I heard though from coming here was that church is meant to be lived and not lived alone and not lived alone, but together as one body. It sounds simple, but redemption structured its church to be people-centric, not ministry-centric, and not preaching-centric. Is that right, Gary? Okay. I was writing it and I was like, nah, I don't know. I always felt seen and heard, which is now how I incorporate it into my ministry. I'm a social worker. I work with people, and I always make sure that they're seen and heard. We're not here for much else but to love God and love others, right? Can I get an amen on that? And now we know Jesus without having to see him. You know, he lives in us. He speaks in us daily. Zephaniah 3:17 says that he delights in us with shouts of joy. Psalm 139 says that he searches us and is intimately acquainted with all of our ways. Revelation 3:20 says he stands at the door and knocks at the door of our hearts. So I never, you know, I just feel like that is kind of the message that we have here. And this is what I felt redemption always brought to my heart, and I always felt connected to them in that way, and so I'm grateful for that. I never felt like I needed to be anyone but myself, which is broken and not perfect, but I also often struggled while I was in college to be myself and what that really meant and to truly accept myself. But redemption always honored me for who I was. And so as a college person, I really appreciated that. I really appreciated that redemption honored me as a person, saw me for who I was. And I believe that that's why I'm here today, and that's why redemption's still here. And I pray that you receive the same benefit, the same blessing that I received from redemption. And I hope that we can all like join together and bless redemption for that, for being that, and for being that for us. Yeah, so, and just bless them.
Now going to invite Scotty Miser up to the mic. That's me. That's me. My name's Scotty Miser. I'm the pastoral resident here at Redemption Church. And I want to talk a little bit about what came next. So for a large portion of Redemption's life, we were a community of house churches. And what that would mean on its most basic level is that rather than meet all together in one room regularly on Sundays, we would meet together in smaller groups in each other's living rooms where we would sing some songs, worship God, we would discuss scripture, and we'd eat dinner together. A lot of what you're doing right now is sprouting out of that fabric of the house church culture. It's difficult to underestimate what redemption did for me in that time. I came to redemption right before that baby boom Gary was talking about earlier, right before all the babies started coming. Just before, like when I want to know how long I've been at Redemption, I look at how old Augie is, and I'm just like, oh, yeah, you were inside her when, yep, okay. But So it was also just as Redemption was starting to shift its demographic focus, right? Redemption's thinking like, okay, there's more to the body of Christ than just young people. We can do more than just serve young people. Let's look at some people who aren't young people and put our resources there. And then I came as a college freshman with seven other college freshmen on the first Sunday after school had let in at Cairn University. And Redemption flexed. They said, okay, all right, nope, never mind. The Lord has spoken. This is what we're doing. This is what we're doing. To sort of put you where I was when I stepped into this building at 19 years old, it's weird, but at 19, I was already burned out on vocational ministry. I was like a pastor who'd been doing it for 40 years, and was just like, oh, I'm just so ready. I was 19, but I had served at the same summer camp for 7 years. I had done so much work and just gotten a lot of joy out of helping with my home church from where I was from. But then I came to college, and I needed a breather. I needed not so much a break from church, but I needed affirmation that I didn't have to be on church staff to be valued, which is a weirdly specific problem for a 19-year-old to be going through, but it's what I was going through. And House Church did that. I laid low, honestly, with a lot of my gifting. I laid low. I tried not to let people know that I could talk or that I could sing. I just kind of, but Redemption did an amazing thing. Redemption did not force me into any of those roles before I was ready. But Redemption also didn't let me off the hook. What Redemption said to me and what the House Church has said to me was, you're here. You're not here as a college student, which is very different from being actually here. No, if you're in this room, you're actually here. And we're gonna ask you to contribute. My cooking improved significantly. Thank you to House Churches. And a thank you to everyone who was there for the first meal I served. Which I will not go into, except to say that we now will only refer to it in hushed tones as the rice mush incident. It was very bad. But what House Church did for me more than just improve my cooking was it actually got me ready to go back into vocational ministry and to do vocational ministry work. And I don't think that would have happened without House Church. And I don't think that would have happened without a very particular moment I think of in House Church a lot. And we were in Gary and Susan's living room, and we were worshiping, but we were all just sitting in couches with one another, and we're just sitting there, and so many people just have their eyes closed and their hands raised, and there's like this sort of withdrawn, I think what Jesse was calling just this longing, just this hope for God show up. And I opened my eyes and I looked at the people sitting in the room with me, and I don't speak of God speaking to me often, but in that moment, unprompted, I heard in my heart the sentence, there is room. There is room in the body of Christ for you. And that has become a mantra for my ministry. That has become everything that I'm about in all the work that I do. I proclaim as often as I can, there is room at the table, and there is room in the body of Christ for you. Amen? Amen. So that's House Churches. As you can see, we're not in a house right now. We've moved on to some different things. I want to invite Ian Mulroney to come on up and talk about what Redemption's been up to in some more recent years. Yeah. Yeah, give it up for Ian.
Oh, thank you guys. It's really cool to be here and get to be here with all of you people, all of you beautiful, miserable, sinful people like myself. So that redemption has touched in some way, and to know the God who has loved each and every one of us in our miserable sinfulness. So as Scotty was saying, when I started coming to Redemption, we were not in a house church, but we were in this very room that we're all gathered in now, though it looks a lot less banquety on a normal Sunday. And the way that my wife Amanda and I actually got to be in this room and got to be here tonight was rather a long story. I worked in ministry with college students when I graduated from college. I did that for 4 years. And when Amanda and I got married, we ended up moving farther away from where I had been going to church. And so we spent a year of our first year of marriage prayerfully looking and going to every church in the area that we could find. We tried over a dozen churches, and there were some that we stuck with for months. And many of them were very good churches, but none of the ones that we attended seemed to have a whole-encompassing vision of the gospel and what it could be and what it could include in the lives of its congregants and those who are in the community around it. And so I started working a new job, and within a week, one of my new coworkers, who had a passion for Jesus and for this church, Paul Clements, had invited me to try out his church because he knew I was not a regular member at any church yet. And Paul does this with everyone because he's just so filled with the love of God, which is a testament to him and this church. And so I politely said yes because I didn't know him that well. But he was another Christian at my work, so I wanted to at least, you know, have someone that I could, you know, pray with when needed and things like that. So I said yes. And I talked my wife into, let's try another church, honey. This one's farther away from where we're living, but let's give it a shot. So we drove out here one Sunday, and because I don't have a smartphone and I use one of those old school GPSs, somehow it got very lost. And we ended up on Beaver Street in Levittown and not over here. And so that took us about 10 minutes, 15 minutes to figure it out. By that point, we were already late for church. But we got it sorted out. We ended up coming down here. And at this point, we were over 30 minutes late for church. And she was in tears. I was fuming because that's what happens when you get lost and you're still recently married. We were literally sitting outside in the car, like, I don't know, should we even go in at this point? Like, we're not even going to like it. I'm like, we're here, though. We drove over 40 minutes, you know, total. So we decided to just suck it up. We tried to put on our best composed, oh, we're normal people looks. And we climbed the stairs. And we come in the door, and not knowing anyone except for Paul in the room, the first thing we're greeted by, even though we're over half an hour late and we're interrupting speakers, is smiles as people turn around and see the strangers coming in, as not scowls of who's interrupting or, you know, these people. Like, we're just greeted by a room of smiles. And a peace just settled in both my heart and my wife's heart, and the room reeked of the scent of Jesus, I guess we could say. It just smelled like Jesus. And what we were doing that night was called Story Sunday, where I'd never experienced this in a church before, but they invited people from the congregation, Bianca and Susan and others, to just share about what God was doing in their lives. And we had so many people come up and talk to us afterwards, and we both, even though we were only there for less than 20 minutes, went out that door and we're like, we need to come back here again. And we have been, and here I am tonight with you guys. And so that's my main story, but there have been other aspects of Redemption Church that I just wanted to share, that I have so appreciated just getting to belong here for the past year. The first of which is, I really see redemption and believe redemption to be the salt of Bristol. And what I mean is, I want you to picture Bristol as a big old helping of French fries, and each of the people who attend it as the salt that gets sprinkled over that order of fries. Because I can promise you, at any point of the day, if you walk up and down Mill Street, you will probably find at least one person, if not several, people who are from this church in different stores, either working, walking up and down, running errands, saying hi to friends, getting food, just being the living embodiment of the light of Christ, doing their daily routine, loving this community. And this is even more of a testament because I've only been going here a year, but I and my wife are the third couple we know who have moved since we started coming to this area, just to be closer and more involved in Bristol and serving here. And along with that, there's just such a heart for God and for who he is, because that's who this church is all about. Without him, this is nothing. It's a nice Sunday night social club that we share meals sometimes, but this church really loves God and really loves Jesus and wants the world to know him and know his love too. So many artificial barriers that other churches that I've been a part of have set up, membership classes and certain things you have to say to accept communion and do, those barriers are just taken away, and anyone who is seeking Christ is invited to partake in our community, is invited to help serve in different aspects. There's just such a trust in that God knows what he's doing, and trusting people to God, and a love for God that is just so, like a fire gets spread so quickly and easily. So these are the things that have attracted me to this church and this campus, even in its post-house church days. And it's so fun to get to hear these middle school stories about and learn the bangs that Redemption had that I never knew about, because in the few months that I've been here, it's just been such a blessing to me. And so thanks be to our God, who was here before Gary even had an inkling about wanting to start a church in Bristol, who has been here over the past decade and the years to come, and who will be here when Redemption at Bristol is just a distant memory in our great grandkids' minds. So praise God, and thank you for all that you guys do.
Amen. Thank you, Ian. Amen. So now that we've spent this time looking back, we want to spend at least a little bit of time looking forward at the legacy of God and Redemption Church. I want to ask one more friend of Redemption, Todd Heaston, to come up and share with us tonight. I would say some words about him, but Todd and I just met this afternoon, so.
If you could not let her talk, that would be great. So my name is Todd, for those of you who don't know me. I was on staff with Gary. Gary was my intern at The Well a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. Star Wars joke. I never make Star Wars jokes. I must be nervous. But yeah, Gary was on was our intern, and then we kind of like took advantage of him for a couple years and underpaid him after that. And I just want to confess that and ask your forgiveness. And you know, I want to talk about legacy, but like I have to say, like the early parts of Redemption and the conversations we were to have, able to have around the tables and coffee shops and in Idaho and about the origins of this church were awesome to be part of. When you're a church and you're undersized and underfunded and you plant a church, it's hard. It's a hard season. I'd say that our year after planting Redemption was one of the more difficult years we've had, that we had. And it was 100% worth it, but it was difficult. The well doesn't exist anymore. Not related to the birth of redemption, I promise. And it, you know, just for lots of different reasons. But I, you know, with that said, I remember probably like 20 years ago, maybe 18 years ago or so, I don't know, many years ago. I was, my grandpa was a pastor for 50 plus years in Chicago and Montana and Pennsylvania. And he helped actually start a church in Lancaster. And I was able to go when I was in my 20s to something a little bit like this, but it was a 50th anniversary, so hopefully we get there, of my grandpa who had helped plant this church, and it was celebrating its 50th year. And it was incredible to be there. I mean, just like, my goodness, he was part of that great story. And, you know, I used to have these dreams of one day, like, going back to the well in 50 years, which isn't going to happen. But when they called this summer, and you guys said that we were doing this, I live in Portland now, and so it was a little bit of a drive to get here. But I would not have missed this for the world, because on some level, like, for me, this is like that time with my grandpa. You know, and I've thought a lot about legacy since moving to Portland. Our move to Portland was a great move for us. There were some hard things that were wrapped around it. And, you know, I'm not in pastoral ministry anymore. You know, I've been laid off 2 jobs since then. It's been a hard road for us. Parenting 4 boys is not easy. And so I'm in my 40s, and I'm thinking a lot about legacy and a lot about, like, life. And I'm like, what is legacy for real? Is it being able to go back 50 years to an organizational celebration? Or is it about the people that you work with and live with and commune with all the time? And so as we think about legacy, we can think about it in, like, these really big organizational ways, about these systems and organizations that continue to exist. But I think the harder stuff we've walked through the last 5 years has taught me that legacy is about presence with people. It just is. It's 100% about presence with people. And I think we're tempted, especially in the church and the church planning world, we like to think in really big terms about the expansion of the kingdom and, like, these really, like, great ministries and big churches. And honestly, like, there aren't a lot of people in the church planting world who think Bristol is the place to plant a church. Usually we're like in Northern Liberties or Manayunk. That's super cool. I don't know all the cool places anymore. They've probably changed since I've been here. But Portland has really cool spots where church planters just flock to. And very rarely does someone pick a community like Bristol, because it gets super hard. Super hard. Because you've got to be present. And I think as we talk about legacy and the legacy of redemption, I think a lot of churches are, like, they have proximity to people, but very few churches are able to have presence in a community like you guys have had. And I think that's been in the leadership of Gary and your other elders. And so as I think about, like, my own legacy or the legacy I want to leave to my kids, it's about that presence with people and, like, just everyday normal people who aren't in, like, the news, who aren't, like, you're not reaching out to all, like, the superstars, but just everyday normal people. And that's what the legacy of redemption is going to be. Whether you guys are here for 2 more years, 20 more years, or 50, and we're back here again, that'd be cool. But it's about presence with people. And I was here this summer, and we got to walk down Mill Street. And it's right, man. Like, you guys have had great presence here. Not just in, like, cool things like First Fridays and that kind of stuff and coffee shops and tea groups, but, like, presence with people. And to hear the stories of the people is what really matters. And so I want to encourage you guys, a little bit of a charge, I guess, is don't worry so much about the big stuff, but just keep being present with the people who you're with. And organizationally, it'll work out as God wants it to. So.
Thank you, Todd. So this time, we want to open up the room just a little bit, if anyone would like to say a few words about redemption. The idea is that this is sort of like wedding toasts, so we want to hear a whole lot from everybody, so we would ask that you keep it brief, like, don't go maid of honor like we've been going up here, but, like, if there's a few words you want to say about redemption, about the past 10 years or the next 10, any, go for it, Paul.
So I would just like to say that redemption has been extremely special to me because, like, I'm far away from, like, my family, and you know, there's been a lot that I've missed. I go home and visit, and it's like people are getting older. You know, kids are growing up, birthdays are happening, people are dying, funerals are missed. And it's like, you know, I get to be a part of this family, and it's something, and it's really a family. You know, it's far different than any other church I've visited, because, you know, most churches, you go in, you sit down, you listen to a sermon, you might say hi, hey, how you doing, how's your mom, how's your uncle, you know, but here you get to actually be a part of it. What, 3 or 4 weddings I've witnessed since I've been here, the Motts, the Dittmans, who else, anyway, yeah, so anyway, so to be a part of that has just been extremely special, and it's kind of taken... I guess not the pain of being away from family and loved ones, but it's almost like there's a, like God's blessed me with a new family, and he's brought me into his kingdom. And through that family, I've had several mentors here that everyone here has pretty much helped mentor me. At one point I was very messy, far messier than I am now. A lot of people can tell you that. Yeah, like my wife and I, Sarah, she's back there. We got married last year. Gary married us. James and Krista counseled us. I was in no shape to marry her before that, and we probably would have failed miserably. So, you know, thank you to Redemption for being my family.
Praise God. Thank you, Paul. Anyone else? Shelby Hoffman.
Hey guys, I came here about, actually it's been a little over 6 years now, six and a half years, which is kind of cool to think about. Whatever season I was in my life, no matter what, Redemption was the space that I kind of like returned back to, whether I was questioning what I understood about God and Jesus Christ, whether I was struggling internally. It was that space where there were always people available to just hear whatever was going on in my mind. Marjorie is my mentor. She has been incredible. Forrest and Johanna gave me a car when my car got lost in a wreck. Just the people in this room have been some of the most family I've ever experienced in my life, and it's the most incredible thing. And what a wonderful way to celebrate the love of Jesus Christ in this room. Thank you.
Thank you, Shelby. Is there anyone else? James.
All right. So you heard a couple of stories tonight about involvement with the homeless community. It was kind of one of the earlier roots of the Way Home, or I'm sorry, of Redemption Church. One of the things that Gary talks about a lot is how this always seems to creep up. So from that early group, when after we had the wedding for the homeless couple, it kind of died. It after a little while, we really didn't have a lot involved with the homeless community. And then all of a sudden, Paul and Sarah joined us, and they got this bug without being prompted that they wanted to do something. And then so Sojourn was a thing that came up. And a lot of their congregation just rallied around that and volunteered, and a lot of people went out for that. And early on, The Way Home had started, and I think you heard that name mentioned a couple of times. I was actually the founding president of The Way Home. Forrest, who led communion, was our executive director for 2 years. Paul is now our executive director with The Way Home. Shelby sits on the board. She's our treasurer. Homelessness and the poor is something that Redemption has just treasured and served through. What I think is critical about that is James says that pure and undefiled religion is this, that you take care of widows and orphans in their distress and you keep yourself unstained by the world. And I think that is the beauty of that picture with Redemption Church, is that selflessly, Redemption Church has continuously gone out to serve the poor, not look down at them, not judge them, but love them and serve them. And so I thank Redemption Church for being a lot of the motivation that started The Way Home. We are now on 8 years as an organization, still going forward, still going strong. The impact you've had on that organization and on the poor that we have had as a church has just been something to applaud. So join me in applauding that.
Thank you, James. Is there anyone else? Probably got time for one more. Jay Weaver. Wasn't sure if you were getting up to use the bathroom or not.
I'm glad you're not.
Thank you, Scotty. On that note, several comments were made about how they can go back to the Alloways kids, but to add further proof to this gray hair, I would go back on that before. I don't even know if Susan knew Gary the first time I met Susan. Do you remember at the Warrington office of World Team, you were doing...
I remember that.
Yeah, and you did not even know him. So, you know, long before Augie was even a spark in her eye, I met some of these good people. My wife and I are the parents to Marjorie Mott, and because of that, probably, Gary became aware of our passion for church planting, having engaged in that for a few decades, mostly cross-culturally abroad. And they asked me to serve as part of their advisory council. And I want you to know that it gives me great joy to be driving home nigh unto midnight to Lancaster after those meetings, because I am so immensely proud of the leadership here and the body that's gathered here at Redemption Church. We talk about the value of belonging, and that's been shown up several times here this evening. And so kudos, you are rocking it on the belongingness of the body of believers. We recently talked about the importance in our last gathering, just this last week, on the importance of belonging and believing. And so I challenge you, as the body gathered here, to continue to go deep in your roots in the gospel, so that those roots are always showing the very best of what it means to be in Christ Jesus and to be Christ followers in this community. So that if I may, let's see, who had the French fries? Yes. So that it not just be salt, but that it be vinegar, if you will, it be ketchup, if you will, it would be whatever you want on it, that it penetrates down deeply in and around. Thank you.
Thank you, Jay. And as we look forward to the future of what God has for Redemption, what God has for the people in this room for the next 10 years, I'm going to hand things over to Marjorie Mott, who's going to lead us in a time of prayer for the future.
Holy Spirit, Father God, Jesus Christ, thank you. We got to hear so many beautiful stories of how you've been at work in the last 10 years. And we know your work is not finished, that this is just the beginning. Lord, as we look ahead, we want to pray with boldness and clarity, Lord, that we be a community that expects you to move, that experiences transformation, and that exemplifies Christ. Here we are. This is just the beginning, God. You've been with us, and you will continue to be. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen.
To find out more about Redemption Church, visit redemptionbristol.org.